MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Wednesday, March 6, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage in communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Bourne. Some of the stories we're looking at: Massachusetts House Democrats propose more money for migrants. State officials to be in Gloucester on Friday. Haunted happenings, costs are on the rise.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, it was not a good night for the Bruins and Celtics last night, and we'll have local updates as well coming up in sports. Rick?
All right, excellent. Thank you, Bill. Cloudy near 50, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 6:51 p.m. State House reporter Christian Wade is reporting that House Democrats have filed a proposal to pump another $245 million into the state's emergency shelter system amid an ongoing surge of migrants. The supplemental budget, which is to be taken up Wednesday, would provide more money to workforce training programs, migrant welcome centers, and additional funds for resettlement agencies to connect families with housing and other services. Gloucester Times reporter Ethan Foreman is writing that state lawmakers and top members of the Healy-Driscoll administration will meet at Gloucester City Hall on Friday to discuss spending on housing, economic development, and labor initiatives for fiscal 2025. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means hearing on Governor Mara Healy's proposed $56.1 billion budget is being co-chaired by State Representative Ann Margaret Ferranti of Gloucester and State Senator Lydia Edwards of Boston. Ferranti serves as vice chair of both the House Committee on Ways and Means and the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. The hearing, scheduled to begin at 10:30 a.m., is open to the public. The Salem News is reporting that haunted happenings continues to grow in size and expense, but a deeper dive on the data is leading officials to new ways to balance the books each October. City officials gathered at the Community Life Center last week for a recap and review of Haunted Happenings 2023, which included a two-hour-long spotlight on October revenue and expenses. The City of Gloucester and the Gloucester Fire Department are inviting the community and members of surrounding communities to attend an open house focused on the 2024 Cape Ann Community Wildlife Protection Plan and to take a public survey that will contribute to the plan. Gloucester Mayor Greg Verga explains.
Sure. So to cut to the chase, it is Thursday, this Thursday, I guess day after tomorrow, 6 to 8 here at City Hall up in the auditorium. It's the Cape Ann Community Wildfire Protection Plan open house. So this goes back to, remember, the summer before last, all the fires we had. And when we had the state fire people come in to help us, they offered this this opportunity to us to help us do have a plan. So going forward, we'd be in much better shape. And so we took them up on the offer. Chief's been meeting with, and Joe Cahill, my CEO, been meeting with the town managers around us, as well as other private landowners or big landowners or trusts that own land, because we're all in it together, and coming up with a comprehensive plan to address this going forward. You know, one of the things that they'll be looking at is even just the paths that the fire roads that have gotten overgrown over the years. So it's just simple things like that to clear the paths so you can get through with apparatus if needed and clear out other debris to take out basically the accelerants that are on the ground. I think it's a good thing. So people can come Thursday, day after tomorrow, to hear what's going on, and hopefully we'll move forward and this will be a good community regional thing for us. And the fact is, a lot of the funding, pretty much all the funding, is coming from state and not coming out of the pockets of the cities and towns.
That's Gloucester Mayor Greg Verga. And Jim Sullivan writes in today's Newburyport Daily News that Newburyport School Superintendent Sean Gallagher presented the school committee with two options during Monday's meeting: a $44.5 million budget to keep the same services featured this school year, and a $44.7 million aspirational budget. The first option would mean no additions, no cuts, and a 4.12% bump over this year's $42.1 million school budget. Gallagher also proposed a $44.7 million aspirational budget, which would run an additional 4.57% over this year if adopted by the school committee. Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up. Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. It was end of game disaster for both the Bruins and Celtics last night. The Celtics lost in Cleveland 105-104. The Bruins lost in overtime to Edmonton 2-1. The Bruins gave up the tying goal late in the third period and then gave up the game-winning goal very early in overtime. In tournament basketball last night in D3, it was Newburyport over Tanasqua 79-58, and Manchester Essex bombed Tingsboro 77-36. We have details in a separate post here on the website, but this is Manchester Essex coach Tim St. Laurent after the game.
It all starts with defense, and I have five guys at all times on the floor that can play team defense, and then I got a bunch of outstanding offensive players as well. But Zach Hurd, who was absolute MVP tonight on playing defense on that kid the entire night long. I mean, I'm so proud of Zach. And Kay did his thing offensively, which, you know, and defensively, you know, he gets a lot of steals and propels us. Eddie did a great job. It was an all-around team win. Johnny shot the ball well. Chow banged up his ankle. He's playing banged up. Preston banged up his ankle a week ago. He's playing banged up. So these guys are playing for toughness, which makes it even more special for us.
In girls basketball, Pawtucket over Dover Sherborne, 52-47. It was North Reading losing to Sandwich, 73-46. And the Newburyport girls in D3 picked up a 56-48 win on the road against Watertown. Tonight in the tournament, boys action, Salem plays at Old Rochester. Salem coach Tom Doyle on his two sensational freshman guards.
Yeah, we have two freshmen that have started for us every game this year. And our point guard is Elian Rodriguez, and he kind of handles the ball and controls the tempo for us. And like I said a second ago, I mean, he had a great first quarter the other night. And then they came out and tried to slow him down a little bit. And then our other freshman, Jordan Maxson, who has been our leading scorer all year long, really got hot and hit, I think, seven threes and played excellent throughout the game. And he had 33 points. And they really led us the other night. And throughout this whole year, they've been pretty consistent overall. You know, obviously, nobody plays well every game, but overall they've been way more consistent than I would expect two freshmen to be.
Other games tonight, Georgetown plays at Lynn Tech. That's a 6 o'clock tip. Rockport is out at Drury. That's out in North Adams. This is Phil Whitley, the Vikings coach, on his Rockport team.
We're fortunate to have, you know, six or seven guys that can handle the ball, four or five that can shoot really well. And, one of the really neat things right now is guys are really just locked into their roles and doing what they do really well. We share the ball well. We move the ball well. Guys are rebounding. Last night, Brooks Slingloff, number zero for us as a senior, he had a herniated disc last year and wasn't able to play he played the last couple games for us last year, but he's been struggling shooting a little bit this season, which I know I've had a herniated disc. I know your body it takes a while to kind of recover, but he's really locked in the last couple weeks to really owning the post. And last night he had 10 rebounds, 9 assists, and 3 steals for us, which was just huge. And he's really kind of loving taking on that role of being the guy in the post and distributing the ball well. And Ed Mers and Josiah, my son, and Chase Weed have just continued to shoot the ball well, get into the lane and either score or kick outs. And Josh Silva continues to play well for us with rebounds, assists, great defense. He really locked down number 5 for us last night. He was at the top of our zone and was he's quick. He's athletic. So pretty good stuff.
And in girls basketball tonight, Georgetown plays at Tingsboro. In boys hockey, Newburyport plays Woburn at 7:30 in Woburn. It's Marblehead taking on Scituate at the Gallo Arena this afternoon at 5. And Division 4, Winthrop will battle Ashland tonight in Stoneham at 7:30. For Winthrop and their coach Dale Dunbar, he believes his team has both talent and team chemistry.
Well, they're very close. Like I said, I'm a firm believer in chemistry. Can beat talent anytime. You can figure out a way to shut down talent. But if you have a very close team who works hard and truly cares for each other, combine that with some pretty high-level skill, you can go a long way. And goaltending has been, very good. Mike Donahue has been, he's been very good for us, not tested a lot, which has been a concern. So our practices are really going to be now of tons of shots on him. And, we just got to make sure, we continue to just do everything together. And, from pregame meals to hanging out, these kids genuinely care about each other. And that can overcome a lot of things.
Winthrop hockey coach Dale Dunbar. This is North Shore Today, the area's only daily news and sports podcast giving voice to the North Shore. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Wednesday.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. And from the mayor's office, we're talking now with Gloucester Mayor Greg Verga. Mr. Mayor, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back. Glad to be here.
Well, you've had a lot of announcements coming out of your office recently, and it's mostly good news concerning help for various organizations. We'll get to that. But you also had something out publicly. There was a press release concerning some meetings coming up, including a wildfire protection plan open house. Would you like to talk about that?
Sure. So to cut to the chase, it is Thursday, this Thursday, I guess day after tomorrow, 6 to 8 here at City Hall up in the auditorium. It's the KPN Community Wildfire Protection Plan open house. So this goes back to, remember, the summer before last, all the fires we had. And when we had the state fire people come in to help us, they offered this this opportunity to us to help us do have a plan. So going forward, we'd be in much better shape. And so we took them up on the offer. Chief's been meeting with, and Joe Cahill, my CEO, been meeting with the town managers around us, as well as other private landowners or big landowners or trusts that own land, because we're all in it together, and coming up with a comprehensive plan to address this going forward. One of the things that they'll be looking at is even just the paths that the fire roads that have gotten overgrown over the years. So it's just simple things like that to clear the paths so you can get through with apparatus if needed and clear out other debris to take out basically the accelerants that are on the ground. I think it's a good thing. So people can come Thursday, day after tomorrow, to hear what's going on, and hopefully we'll move forward, and this will be a good community regional thing for us. And the fact is, a lot of the funding, pretty much all the funding, is coming from state and not coming out of the pockets of the cities and towns.
I know Chief Eric Smith, the fire chief, has mentioned several times in interviews how much woodland there is on Cape Ann and how much of that is dry undergrowth just sitting under the ground and so on. He's mentioned several times that it's a bona fide danger.
Yes. Yeah. And as we saw, a couple of years ago, it can happen and it can spread fast and it can linger for a long time. So this is just an ounce of prevention here, and hopefully we'll get that pound of cure going forward.
And of course, nationally, we're seeing it more and more in various places. So yeah, good idea. Okay. Next thing. I had to look up the word visioning, comprehensive plan visioning workshop. I had to look that up, and maybe you can tell me about that.
So the comprehensive plan, also known as the master plan, is something we've been talking about since before I got elected over 2 years ago, that the city's current master plan, Plan 2000, by its very name, is outdated. It's over two and a half decades old. So there was a definite need sort of some of the pushback we got when the city attempted some zoning changes early on in my term was we really should have a master plan before we start doing things like this. So I agree. And that's why we got kicked off the comprehensive planning initiative. So we had over 3,000 participants at meetings in a box, through the online surveys, to date. And so it's been a pretty good, turnout, you know, virtually and in person over the last several months. And we want to keep that momentum going. So this is the opportunity to start writing out the vision and goals for the city for the next decade or so. And I would hope that whoever's in this seat 10 years from now will be starting on the next one. We can't let it go for an extra decade because things change so swiftly in today's technology age.
Without getting specific, are there common threads among the communication that you've gotten?
Yeah, I mean, it's the usual things. You know, people are concerned about development. They're concerned about, you know, our roads. And, you know, it's the usual things that you hear are the ones that we're hearing, you know, as it relates to what we need to look at going forward. But this is, you know, it's the comprehensive plan. So it's everything from the roads to the our water infrastructure to, you know, our schools, how city government's going to run. So we've got a lot to digest here. And, you know, we don't have to rush this. This is not... There's no deadline on this, you know, and I'm not saying we're going to let it linger for the next, you know, 24 months, but we want to make sure we get it right because this is going to be the blueprint for us moving forward.
What's the organizational structure of something like this?
The organization, well, it's going through our community development department, actually through the planning board, and we have the, we've hired a consultant to help lead us through it. So some of the comments that we got since we've hired the consultant or talked about hiring the consultant was, you know, why don't we have someone locally do this? Why do we need to keep hiring consultants? Well, I'd rather have someone who's done this in the real world as opposed to someone's going to, you know, call up a YouTube video of how to do a comprehensive plan. And sometimes you have to seek professionals. Like if you're going to build an addition to your house and you've never done it before, you might want to have a real contractor come in and do it. So someone who's does this for a living was the smart way to go. And people will have an outside view of, you know, they look at what other communities have done. It can't just be a locally based on opinion. So I think it was a smart thing to hire the consultant. And we have final say over it. We, not me, the mayor, us, the government, but the residents have final say over what gets produced.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The other good news coming out of the mayor's office recently is the ARPA funding, which I think maybe you could review a little bit what that means and what the city is doing with it.
Sure. So you recall that the city received about $21.5 million through ARPA funds long before I was mayor. I think it was around 21 or so, maybe late 2020. And the first thing we did is set aside $10 million for our sewer plant, wastewater treatment plant, which is, as we've talked about before, probably the biggest thing that this city is going to be dealing with ever. And so $10 million on a $200 million bill is just a small bit of it. But we did put, you know, 20 of the 21 million, 10 million towards that, put 3 million towards roads way back when. But more recently, we started working, finalizing the community initiatives from some of our partners out there. And you saw a press release with the GMGI got their first half of their grant. Open Door got theirs. Other places like Action will be getting some. And I don't have the full list in front of me, but it's about $1 million, $900,000 going to some of our community partners. So stay tuned. There'll be more releases on those in specifics in the coming weeks. But the other things we're looking to spend money on, the big one in my eyes is the Legion, the American Legion building. Anybody who drives by it sees it's in terrible condition. But it's not just a paint job. This is, we want to make sure we do it right. So we have a engineering firm writing up some, plans for that. It's about a $2 million project. Thankfully, we do have the funding in ARPA to fix any of the rotted wood, do, issues with drainage and get the thing painted so it looks sharp and is, you know, it's right there at the gateway to the city. Some of the other things, playgrounds at Beeman and Plum Cove School. Plum Cove School, they got funding through the state that went directly to the school department. We're looking to put some funds in from ARPA to put in the rubberized surfaces that are required, money to implement the harbor plan once that gets approved by the state. Over the last several months, we've done things like the $1.5 million to the Fulton Housing Trust. We've got wayfinding that'll be signage, unified signage around the city. Right now, we've got remnants of all the previous mayors, what they had put forward, which kind of don't match. So we're looking to revise all of it. So it's one unified look, directed people from the waterfront to Main Street and back and forth and to all the other areas in town. So we were very fortunate. That was a one-time deal from the federal government, that $21 million we got. And we have taken our time and we're going to spend it wisely and put it to the best use. And it sounded like a broken record, but what will do the most good for the most people over the most time? That's what my mantra has been and will be.
I don't know if this is related or not, but I think there's an article in today's Gloucester Times about free cash in the city.
Yes. So free cash. Yeah, that's another big one. So the so-called free cash is basically after all of the books are balanced, the state certifies that you have X amount of money left over. What they, you know, it's just the street name. It's called free cash. It's not free. It's not really cash, but it's about $4.1 million, something like that. But under Sapathia's administration, they had set up a procedure. They created stabilization accounts, things for road work, for general stabilization, for buildings. We have been sticking to that for the last 2 years that I've been dealing with the free cash, plugging it into those categories. And then this unrestricted free cash that we can do whatever we want with. But typically it's for one-time use. It's not used for hiring people. It's not used for salaries because you don't know from year to year what you have. That is the result of, I would say, very conservative budgeting over the last several years. This year, because things are not as rosy as they had been over the last few years, because the state revenue is being down, we're going to be a little less conservative in budgeting, which we know will result in less free cash this time next year. But we don't want to starve our departments and our residents knowing that we're going to have free cash at the end of this time next year. So it's not free, it's not cash, but it certainly is helpful to have. And as I mentioned earlier about the $206 million sewer plan, that it is really necessary that we have those stabilizations in place to raid if needed. We're going to be seeking grants. We have low interest loans we're in the pipeline for this project. But if we don't get significant grants, you know, we can't put the whole cost on the ratepayer. So those stabilization funds are there for a rainy day. And once we've moved along in construction on that sewer plant, it's going to be a typhoon out there.
Okay, we'll stay tuned for that. Anything else you want to mention, Mr. Mayor?
No, I would just say that, you know, we appreciate the support we get from people, the constructive criticism, anything that people would like to bring to our attention, you know, please call our office or email mayor@gloucester-ma.gov. Facebook is not the place to go, especially not on the mayor's Facebook page. You know, if you go into one of these other group Facebook group pages, not the best place to just bury your comment or your post because we may not see it. So if something is, you have good news, bad news, indifferent news, reach out directly to us and we will address it.